Well, good morning and welcome everyone to Live Dhamma Sunday for April 20th, 2014. Oyo Kubose here. So very glad you joined us. Today, I'd like to start out by reading a passage from my father, Reverend Gyomei Kubose's book, The Center Within. And, of course, this is the essay on Easter. On Easter, all Christians throughout the world celebrate the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. An individual, Jesus, became the Christ. I don't know if this idea is traditional theology or not, but when Paul Tillich lectured at the University of Chicago many years ago, he said, Jesus became Christ. This was the first time I had heard such an interpretation. It seems to me that we Buddhists have a similar interpretation. We feel an individual man, Gautama, became Buddha. Jesus carried the cross up to Calvary. This is very important. Even though he was crucified, he lived up to his true life. He could not be dishonest to himself. Let the rulers of society kill him. In the face of execution, he was unafraid. He had something beyond death. Though he died physically, he did not die. He lived all the more by dying. Our life is something like that. There is something worthy in all of us. It can be called the true self, the Buddha, or Christ. It doesn't matter. Each of us has something to live up to. Compared to this something, death doesn't matter. Confucius said, this physical body is lighter than a single hair of the ox. It is life which has weight. We will give up the physical body for this kind of life. If one finds the way in the morning, dies that same evening, life was worthwhile. One should not be afraid to die. One should be afraid of killing one's own true life. Resurrection means the awakening of this true life. This was Christ's greatness. He accepted all conditions and was never defeated by circumstances. He lived his true life. This spirit has provided great inspiration. The important thing is to discover what we are and be what we are. Assume complete responsibility for yourself. Even if the whole world is against you, what of it? No one can really stop your true life. We have to awaken to this life in ourselves. In Christian terminology, this is the resurrection of the Christ in each individual life. Each individual should become a Christ, just as Jesus became a Christ. This is how I interpret Easter. Well, I'm going to move right on to our guest for today's Dharma Glimpse. And this is going to be given to us by Andy Geo. Geo means natural sun. G is natural. The character for this particular G is natural in the spiritual sense. And our Yo is the sun, S-U-N. All of our lay ministers have that Yo as the second common character in their Dharma names. And the first character is something personalized for them. So Geo is natural sun. And Andy was part of LM1, our first lay ministry group to complete the curriculum and program. And he received a lay minister induction in 2008. Time is flying by. He lives in Wisconsin, near Milwaukee. And let us hear from NDGO.
Turns out, I like to make bread. I really like to make bread. Lots of reasons for it, now that I come to think of it, but it was all rather accidental. We needed some bread. We had a bunch of flour and some old yeast just sitting around, and I'm an adventurous soul. Ah, so how hard can it be? I used to help my dziadzia, my Polish grandfather, make bread, but it was mostly sitting with him eating the end result. He just seemed to whip things together and voila, bread. It all looked so easy. To Google recipes. I found the basic beginner's recipe, just the thing. The first loaf turned out nice and tasty. Even after many months of experimentation and different kinds of breads, I still use that recipe as my go-to plan, though I use it a bit more playfully nowadays. Lately, though, I've come to cogitate over the process and what it all means to me. When I make bread, I'm pretty loose with the instructions and ingredients. For instance, I don't make sure that the temperature of the water I'm proofing the yeast in is between 170 and 180 degrees Fahrenheit. I am not orthodox. If the water out of the tap is comfortable for me, not too hot or too cold, it's fine. Yeast is a living thing. I can relate. Most things in my life are inexact and uncertain anyway. And I just try to make it as comfortable as possible for everyone. And, you know, I'm dealing with living, breathing life here. That yeast. And I'm killing it. The extreme heat of the baking process does that. But we live that way, too, don't we? Killing animals and plants to survive, or at the very least, harming or hurting life in the process. That sugar I'm using was a live plant once, and the wheat. I've become more careful and mindful of that as I bake. And I become more aware that my life has to cooperate with everything around me, too, for my life, all life, to arise and develop. That's why that basic beginner's recipe is still with me. With all the decades of life behind me, all the loaves of bread I've made, I'm still a beginner at it all, still learning the recipes, still kneading, prodding, and poking. And maybe if I could be allowed to give you one little pointer from all this baking in my life, it might be this. Avoid the quick-rising yeast. Your end result will lack for it, and it'll probably just fall apart in the end anyway. So be careful, take your time, and be thankful. So thank you kindly for listening. But I have some loaves rising, and I need to go check on them. Peace.
Thank you very much. You know, making bread, I saw a video, and I think there's some books written by Zen cooks. Perhaps at Tassajohara Zen Center, affiliated with the San Francisco Zen Center, were in the monastery for the monks. The cook is an important position. And even in Japan, Dogen, in the 16th century, he was the founder of Soto Zen, of course, and wrote a book on about the Tenzo cook. Instructions to the cook and how the process of cooking relates to the Dharma teachings. The cook is a very responsible person. He has to feed everyone and the way he prepares the food, it's the attitude with which the food is prepared for the monks affects their spiritual practice. The process of cooking, not only as the Dharma glimpse emphasized the interdependency of all life, something about physical movements, the labor in cooking, or particularly in this case of making bread, you become one with this activity, and at some level, I think in your subconscious, the Dharma teachings are starting to arise, that are inside us start to arise and come to the surface more when we become aware of then dependency, or the fact that the yeast is this, they're alive, and we're going to kill this, and even the sugar, and all the ingredients become alive, because they are, or were. And then the cook has to teach the novices how to do it. And this is a precious opportunity for learning by watching someone, just to see beginner's mind in action, becoming one with it. This is not just a job in the kitchen that's necessary. All activities are part of one's spiritual growth. And you can picture kneading the dough. That, I have a visual image of close-up. The camera comes in and you see the hands. Hands have characters, its own character, and they're kneading the dough, close-up shot. And I thought about, I'm developing what's called a practicum program, which is a sort of a direct application to try to experience the teachings in everyday life as part of our lay ministry curriculum. And for each unit, we call it, we have an assignment for those participating to concentrate on for a certain time period, maybe for a week or a whole month, it depends. But the latest one that's currently, the current unit, is called Appreciating Your Hands. And this is adapted from the book How to Train a Wild Elephant by Jan Chozen Bays, who's the founder of the Great Vow Monastery, Zen, Oregon Zen Center. And this is a great book. It's all about practicum kinds of activities, relating everyday activities to the Dharma. And she describes different sessions and that they do for the monks in the monastery there. And I adapted it from the one that's called Appreciating Your Hands. She says that our hands, she said, very down-to-earth units, experiential. You might, for this unit, you might take a picture of your hands or a drawing of hands and post it on the bathroom mirror. Oh, so when you get up in the morning, you go, well, the theme is hands. Or just write the word hands and put it near your telephone on the dashboard of your car so that you'd always be reminded, hey, I'm working on the unit about hands. And she says, sometimes, you know, we take our hands for granted, but it's like they have a life of their own a lot of times. They know what to do. Life comes out of the hands. It's like somebody else's hands are working away. people use their hands when they talk, and they don't even know what they're doing, how they're expressing themselves. That's fascinating in itself. Zero in on that. Hands will take care of you when it approaches a hot object. It'll hand will jerk back before you even know it. Hands will are working even though you're asleep. You adjust the pillow, pull up your blankets. It expresses the interdependency of all life, the oneness of life, through your hands. When I posted this unit, we have a website on our Bright Dawn Sangha name site for our online Sangha, and on the link that's for groups. We have all different kind of groups, but one of our groups is the Practicum group. So I post this unit there, and for the lay ministers, it's a voluntary, you want to participate. And as soon as I posted it, two responses came in right away, even before the unit starts, same day. One of them said, yeah, I was... Right after I read your Appreciating Your Hands unit, I was handling a hot pizza and I almost dropped it, and I grabbed it with the other hand automatically, and I thought about hands. Another person wrote, she works on a computer all the time, and she, quite common experience. Sometimes she's looking at her hands that are working the keys so fast, and she's looking at her hands like they're somebody else's hands. They're just going away. So she really related to the unit on hands. And I would think that when you're in the kitchen, see how your hands work together? One holds something and the other holds the knife. They work together, chop up things. Your hands are always... I'm more conscious now when I do something, or maybe in the bathroom, you're brushing your teeth, you gotta hold the brush and this and that. How about when you put on your clothes? Your hands try to work together to put your clothes on. Something about this flow of life. How it manifests makes us aware of this dynamic flow. A lot of times we're existing, but we're not really living without awareness. That'll be another topic for another day. That's all for today's broadcast. Till next time, keep going, and you have a very beautiful and wonderful day. Thank you.